On the show today, we have CU Members Mortgage's very own Steve Hewins talking about lending, the mortgage lending process during COVID-19. What has changed? So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have CU Members Mortgage's very own Steve Hewins. Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. All things considered, we're kind of getting used to our situation here and making the best of it for sure. And as I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah. I mean, here in Dallas, we've been under a shelter in place for a few weeks now. Most of our employees have all transitioned home with remote access, working very hard at home to take care of members. And here in the office, we've got a skeleton crew, about three or four people to handle the things that we can't do remotely, the mail, receiving packages, those type things coming in. And most people are really adjusting to the transition really, really well. And I feel for them to not only change your work situation, to go home and start working remotely, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And to do it at a time when your spouse is probably there also working at home, children are home from daycare and school, it's a lot. And I really feel for them to do it. But I also think people are pretty accepting. If they hear a dog barking in the background on a call, they're not as upset as they would be normally. Like, what's going on? I think everyone's in the same situation. And so I think they're, I think they're more accepting of that today,
Agreed. Which
I think is good. But I mean, all that being said, I mean, yeah, there are a few inconveniences that are going on, but we are very fortunate to be in an industry that's functioning and open. We're glad to be in an organization that is open and functioning, and we've got employees taking care of members the best that they can. And so we're fortunate, because there are a lot of other people that aren't as fortunate, and we're just very, very lucky and appreciate it.
Indeed. Yeah. Well said indeed. And so obviously getting to what you guys do best, and that's mortgage lending. And so what is changing in the lending world as this crisis proceeds? And it sounds like we're approaching a peak, or we've peaked, or whatever the new thing.
I think there's a couple things. I mean, first of all, I think the organizations are all trying to react to being remote. What's this new remote environment look like? You know, for things that used to have wet signatures, they're trying to find alternatives. And it's little things like, you know, the tax office or the IRS office shut down because they won't do transcripts. Well, now we're not going to require transcripts. We're just going to require them to do a 4506 form, which allows us to pull them at a later date. Where we would verify income through the corporation, we always used to require it be through the direct line, but now we will accept the cell phone of a manager and an HR person that we will use those. Mm-hmm. We have our processors documenting items that they would normally get a check for, because people are, again, remote. We're starting to see alternative property valuations on purchases and on refis, where before you'd have to have a full appraisal. Now they're accepting maybe a desk approval or a drive-by, depending on the particular situation and who owns that loan.
Yeah.
So those are the types of things they're doing from a process standpoint. We're seeing our partners, like title companies, work very hard. They're trying to, I mean, we had one closing where they were signing documents in the parking lot. The two parties were in their cars, and they were basically walking between them. So I think people are trying to be creative and reactive while still being safe. But then on the flip side, we had 16.8 million unemployment claims between March 15th and April 4th. And that means basically 1 out of 10 workers is jobless or not receiving income. And what that also means is 1 out of 10 mortgage applicants is not working as well.
Yeah.
And so you're really going to start to see a lot of what we saw back in 2008 and 2009 and 10 during the credit crunch, where there is a tightening of the credit offering. And that's really important. And it's not that they're trying to make it difficult for people. They're really trying to be protective of people to make sure they're not putting them in a bad situation and they can truly have sustainable home ownership. And that's the critical part. So when you start hearing things about the jumbo market or the non-QM space, which is the alternative doc loans that they don't sell to Fannie and Freddie, most of those have liquidity issues in the market. There's no outlet for those loans anymore. And so people have stopped originating them. And so that kind of shrinks down. FHA themselves hasn't really done anything around their overlays, but a lot of lenders have created overlays to say, they used to have a minimum FICO score of 600 to 620. Now that's moved closer to 640.
Mm-hmm.
So people that were in these marginal, that were marginal borrowers at the time, probably less likely to be working remote, hourly employees that have been cut, it's become more difficult for them to get credit. The elimination of VA cash out loans over 90%. Certain property types that historically have had high default rates, they're going to pull back on, manufactured housing being one. Mm-hmm. Some people are getting out of that. Others are temporarily suspending it till the end of COVID, but you'll just have to kind of wait and see. It's difficult. Self-employed borrowers are going to see more restrictions around how they look at their income. They may take their old taxes and reduce it by 25% or 15% for disruptions. So all of that is really just going to be difficult. The other thing that they're going to do is, it used to be we would verify, we do a verbal verification just before closing to make sure that person that's signing the documents is still employed. Mm-hmm. We used to do it 10 days before closing. Now we're doing it 5 days before closing. And so you're getting closer to the closing date, and that can disrupt that closing process much closer to it. So those are the types of credit offerings that you're going to see tightening. And again, it's cyclical, and as this passes, these things will then open back up. But it's really about protecting members and protecting the organizations that they're not taking on additional risk.
No doubt, no doubt. And also, the other thing I want to ask you about is the mortgage refinances right now. That market seems to be off the charts right now. But and I'm asking, is it a good time to do this? Because I've heard lenders are actually raising rates to kind of slow it down because they're so overwhelmed right now. Is that true? Or
There's definitely been some lenders in the marketplace that, you know, took in a lot of applications and now are trying to get them processed and maybe not be able. It's a difficult time to add staff and train people.
No doubt.
And so, you know, there's only so many levers you can pull.
Right, right.
But yeah, we're still seeing very strong refi applications. Rates are still good. Mm-hmm. They've creeped up slightly from a month ago, but still really good. But what you can really expect more probably than that is the extended rate lock agreements, where we used to be doing 30-day locks. A lot of lenders have now moved to 60 and 90 days to allow more time to hold that price for the mortgage process, because there are things, you know, appraisals are going to take a little bit longer, inspections can be harder. And so to lock in that rate, you're going to be typically locking at 60 and 90 days versus what you would see in 30. Now on purchases, you're still tied to the purchase contract, so it's not the same, but on refis, definitely expect a much longer period, but it's still good for some people. Absolutely.
Is this a good time? I mean, kind of segueing on that, is this a good time to be buying or selling a home? Because I mean, I've heard both sides of the argument. So.
Yeah, I mean, I depending on, you know, yes and no. I mean, it depends on what your need is on why you need to do it.
Exactly.
Some people are forced and there may be a relocation and they're really forced to do it.
Yeah.
But what we're definitely seeing is it's very geographical right now. Depending on what rules have passed locally, sometimes in some areas, real estate transactions are essential transactions. In other areas, they're non-essential. Sometimes it's the title companies are essential, but realtors aren't essential. And so it's really going to be geographical in your area on what they would need to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, if you can't go show a house, you know, virtual housing. So how do you, you know, not a lot of people are willing to buy a house on a virtual tour, you know. There probably is a lot of cash opportunity right now for people who have cash and can walk in and do a cash transaction. Mm-hmm. But for people doing finances, they're definitely going to have to understand that the contract process is going to be a little bit slower. We're still seeing new contracts come in, but most of those have been on houses that they've already viewed, like, you know, before the COVID, just kind of pulling the trigger on them now, thinking they're getting a good deal. And, you know, at this point in time, they may be.
Yeah.
And the appraisers are another issue. So depending on what's going on with appraisals for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the inspection process and stuff. And then, hey, let's have an open house on Sunday. Well, maybe we shouldn't have an open house on Sunday now.
It's almost like a paradigm shift if you really think about it, because it used to be you want to go into a house that's fully that has furniture and all of that. They say it shows much better.
Yeah.
But right now, people would be probably much happier walking into an empty home without current residents in it as well. You know, they're still doing virtual tours, but people want to walk through that home. And you're right, inspections are taking a little bit longer. Some inspectors won't go in houses. Other people won't let people in their house. And so you kind of have to take it day to day. On appraisals, we're still seeing about a 6 to 10 day turn time on appraisals.
Okay.
But we've seen some faster, and we've also seen some up to 21 plus days. Mm-hmm. We have some where they're just not doing them. But the good news is, you know, the GSEs, Fannie and Freddie, a lot of private investors have looked at alternative methods for appraisals. And so you may not need a full appraisal. You may get by with a desk review, but you know, the lenders will take care of that for you.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like it. I've also heard about the remote online notarization process. I mean, that's gaining a lot of steam nationwide as well. I think Iowa just passed their bill and
there's different, right? Because there's the electronic closing, which is everything is E, where everything is done electronically, virtual, but you need an e-custodian and an e-note. But what's been the hybrid of that is kind of the virtual, where you've got a notary who has the ability to close via Skype, or, you know, and they are able to display documents to them.
Okay.
They check their income or their identification to make sure that they knew who that person is. Mm-hmm. But there's still some wet signatures that occur there, and they kind of walk them through it virtually.
Yeah.
There's like 23, 24 states that have virtual notaries,
mm-hmm.
but you do need to connect to a title company that has that. And so I know a lot of the title companies, a lot of our partners are struggling if they haven't done that process before. So, I mean, again, it's out there, but it takes a little bit of setup to do, but people are rushing to do it.
Yeah. It's almost forcing your hand to do it because you have to do it these days. So like a lot of credit unions out there who are like on their digital transformation journey. Hey, this is a marathon. No, it's not a marathon anymore. It's turned into a sprint.
It's turned into a sprint.
No
doubt. You know, I mean, and who knows what happens after the effects of COVID when this all goes away. I mean, what norms become the accepted, you know, what becomes the accepted norms past the pandemic? You know, clearly there's a growth in the delivery economy. You know, Amazon will continue to, you know, do their piece. DoorDash is the Uber Eats, the Grubhubs, you know, have picked up so many more restaurants. And how are these restaurants going to incorporate that? The streaming services. I mean, just globally, who knows what's going to be accepted? Mm-hmm. I think for us, you know, and for other financial institutions, you're definitely going to see the adoption of working remotely, where they may have been resistant to it before, and now they see it can work.
Yeah.
Solving virtual communication, to your point, everyone's struggling to figure these things out and get them fixed. I think the other is the reduction of we already saw the reduction of brick and mortar, the need for offices, and you know, people may be in a 2,000 square foot office, and now they're like, I need 1,000 square feet, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so I think you're gonna see over time the reduction of brick and mortar. I think that's going to happen in grocery stores as well. I think they realize that they don't need the same, and they're delivering, and they don't need to carry as much. And so I think that's going to play over to many, many segments. And then of course the digitization of the mortgage file, you're going to continue to see, you know, less paper, no requirement of hand signatures or wet signatures, and push that through.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you know, I mean, credit unions are people, is a people business, regardless, even though they do financial services, it's about people helping people.
Yep.
And in those tough situations, they're always going to, you're still going to have people who want to see someone face to face for that reassurance for whatever particular challenge they're running into.
Yeah.
One thing that I hope doesn't become a norm is people working in their pajamas and not taking showers for days. That just has to end. So
I agree. Yeah. At least continue with that routine, you know, with taking a shower, getting dressed.
Get up, shave, get ready, you know, start your day. You know, I've heard horror stories. They're like, I'm on day 4 of not showering. I'm like, no, go shower. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe they're saving water.
That's true.
But I think the one thing that's not going to change in this process, though, is the actual physical looking at a house. You know, you want to go there and you want to see it. You want to see the neighborhood and, you know, touch the walls and see what kind of flooring and all that type of stuff.
They'll continue to do that. I mean, I think that you'll still see the birth of the, you know, much more virtual tours that people will do. They're narrowed down their list. They're not going to go look at 19 homes on Saturday. They may look at 3 or 4 in person. And, you know, and you can still, even today, you can still use Google Maps or a lot of tools to kind of drive virtually through a neighborhood and kind of look and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
But I do think people are doing that. But as soon as it's kind of lifted, I think there's going to be a floodgates of people that have been the pent up demand.
Absolutely. Oh, of course. Yeah, there's actually a couple of houses for sale in our neighborhood that are, you, because I take my dog on walks, obviously, a million walks a day, and that's what we do now. We walk our dog 100 times a day, so does everybody else. But there's a couple of signs in the neighborhood that say, hey, see the virtual tour here, you know, and it's like, oh, well, that's different. So,
absolutely. I've
seen that sign before. So, all righty, sir. Anything else to wrap up, Steve? I mean, great information, great advice.
The only thing that we didn't talk about, and it's, you know, it's probably, you know, right now we talked about, you know, 6.8 million unemployed claims. There are a lot of people out there very concerned about their ability to make their mortgage payment.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've passed the CARE Act, which is the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And there are some items in there that talk about what to do for mortgage assistance. And the best thing that any credit union can do is to tell their member to go to their servicer. The servicer are the people who really know what the options are for those particular people. And it is very situational. So you can't give a blanket answer depending on who their loan is owned by. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of factors involved, and get them to the servicer, let the servicer work through their process to get that person the answer. And the one thing the credit unions can do is tell their members that, look, you need to be very, very patient. You are not alone in this situation. There are a lot of people that are in the same situation, and it's overwhelming for the servicers. It could be up to 4 to 5 business days before someone calls you back.
Wow.
When you are stressed and you are worried about your home payment, that's a long time. But if you at least understand that no, someone will call you back, and it will take some time. It will take a little bit of the edge off. But the credit union, for the credit unions, their servicers and those people in the servicing department know what's best for that person and can speak to it. Mm-hmm. But again, there's no free lunch. I mean, any money that you skip, you're going to have to pay back. And depending on the plan that you're in is when you pay it back and how you pay it back.
Right.
But you're not just going to walk away from payment. So
does that usually happen at the back end of the loan? Like,
no, typically what will happen is it depends. But typically if you are in a forbearance of 90 or 120 days at the end of that forbearance period, you then start paying it back. So you may be making a mortgage payment 1.5 to 1.75 what you normally do and acquire it. So, but again, it's very specific to each loan. And so it's better to be answered by the experts, but just go into the process with patience, know you're not alone, and know that someone will help you. Mm-hmm. And don't get frustrated that it may take a couple days to get an answer. I realize that that's a very loaded thing to say to someone who's worried about making a payment, but at least if you understand that, you're not worrying every day.
Yeah. And credit union's got your back too. So they
absolutely.
Definitely the word of the month for sure is patience. My gosh, gotta have patience.
Patience and adaptability.
Exactly. All right, Steve. Well, on that note, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Looks like it's a beautiful day there in Dallas, Fort Worth.
It is.
So keep up the good work, sir. All right.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Have a great day.
Indeed.